The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Apple is proud to offer its first ever American-made iPhone. It's the same iPhone you love, but instead of Siri, we're introducing Donnie. You can ask him questions like, "Hey Donnie, what is the weather today?"
"Climate change is a hoax invented by China."
"Donnie, where's the nearest gas station?"
"Your car wouldn't need gas if you drove a Tesla."
"Donnie, play Abracadabra by Lady Gaga."
"Abracadabra, mona, na, like the bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, ba."
"Donnie, what's on my shopping list?"
"Milk, bread, Canada, and Greenland."
"And Donnie, remind me to pick up my kids from school."
"There's no more education department. Your kids are busy making iPhones."
The American iPhone.
Coming soon for $6,000.
So will the iPhone ever be made in America? Professor Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin, is with me. It's a wondrous device.
It is a wondrous device, Pat, isn't it? We take it for granted, don't we? What a piece of technology and science in your pocket, you know? And remember, Pat, as you would agree, it's a torch, it's a watch, it's an alarm clock, it's a library. Who would have thought humans would have invented such a wondrous device?
So it's a wondrous thing, and so many have been made, obviously mostly in China.
Yeah, that's right. It's the biggest consumer product ever, by the way. If you look at all the consumer products that we buy, 2.8 billion sold since 2007. Does that mean like half the population of the earth has one, potentially $1 trillion in revenue? At the moment, Pat, they're making 438 every minute coming off the assembly line. So it's the product that keeps on giving, I guess.
Because when you think of everything else, like a washing machine would be for a family.
Yeah.
But every individual potentially has a phone.
Yeah, exactly. It's remarkable, isn't it? And as I say, it's a great triumph of thousands of years of science in a way, because to make an iPhone, you need intense chemistry, electronics, all that fantastic science had to happen before.
How many components in an iPhone?
Yes, there are, let me see, 2,700 parts, first of all, so it's very complicated. 187 suppliers provide those parts. And getting back to that clip you just heard, about 28 countries are where these parts are coming from.
What percentage of the parts would be made in the USA?
That's the big one, only 5%. So most of it's made overseas, and Trump wants to bring that back. And did you see what Lutnick said, Pat, the Commerce Secretary? "I want millions of people screwing in millions of screws," he says, "in America." Because it turns out, Pat, what's interesting, there are 74 screws in an iPhone, and they're all kinds of screws, flathead, you know, Phillips. But strangely, humans have to, they can't automate that part for some reason.
Okay.
Human beings have to put the screws into the iPhone, which makes it very laborious.
So they're not going to be able to automate that process. So Lutnick is looking for people in the Rust Belt who have no jobs at the moment to be screwing in iPhones.
Well, this is it, you see. And remember, Pat, it's also a hugely profitable device. They make $400 per iPhone, Apple. Profit, 36% margin.
Okay.
That's much more than a washing machine margin would have, sure. You know. And of course, the reason for that, Pat, is it's not quite slave labor, but they don't pay the Chinese, mainly in China, as you know, they don't pay them very much. If you were to move all those workers or employ Americans to do it, they wouldn't work for those minimal wages.
So how did the Chinese get this manufacturing coup?
Yeah, very clever. Obviously, but there's a crowd called Foxconn, and they subcontracted to them, and they're a Chinese company. And the Chinese just had the will to do it. They've built a city, Pat, which I thought was amazing, called Zhengzhou. It's outside Zhengzhou. It's called iPhone City. 350,000 people live in that city, and all they do is make iPhones. And could the Americans achieve that? It's unlikely, isn't it? It cost them $1.5 billion to build that city. Now, there'd be a place to visit, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? But 350,000 people are making this
device. Amazing. All for one device.
All for one device.
And associated Apple products, I presume.
That's right.
Now the actual bits that are made in America.
Yeah.
What are they?
There are two very important bits, it must be said, in America. First of all, the glass. And the glass is made by Corning. Now, if you may remember in your chemistry days, Pat, Corning were famous for making test tubes with glass products. They make the screen, and it's a very special screen. It's made of Gorilla Glass. So Corning invented a new type of glass, which is a good example of innovation, I guess. It has potassium in it. Zirconium is a key element in the glass.
So the idea is it's got to be thin. It has to be capable of that touch technology.
Yep.
And it's got to be scratch-proof.
Absolutely. It was Jobs himself. When the iPhone was first launched in 2007, Jobs noticed it was getting scratched in his pocket because the screen was made of plastic. And he contacted Corning and he said, "I believe you guys are good at making glass." They'd made this type of glass in the 60s, actually, for aeroplanes. very thick, robust glass, and then Corning then make a thin version, and now lo and behold, you have that fantastic glass. And that's, as you say, it's a very important piece of technology for the touch
So where did the other bits come from then?
Yeah, all over the place. I mean, all the different companies. The South Korea, they make the LED part of the screen. You know, various countries are contributing to this, and then they assemble it, I guess, in China's idea. And of course, you need the rare earth minerals part. This is really important. As you know, Trump is also interested in Ukraine for getting these rare earth elements. So neodymium, you've ever heard of that? That's in the speakers.
Okay.
They don't work without neodymium. Lanthanum is in the screen, and that gives the screen its brightness. And an element called ytterbium is essential for the colour of the screen. Now, you can imagine the Chinese are mining those minerals, of course, and then providing them to Apple.
So this is the secret weapon they have, because not alone are they doing all this themselves, they're also importing the raw materials from places like Democratic Republic of Congo.
Exactly.
And processing in China, because it's a dirty business.
This is the big thing. It's very dirty. I mean, to extract these rare earth minerals is hugely damaging to the environment. Now, there are rare earth minerals in Alaska, for instance.
Yeah.
But the trouble is, if you mine them, you're destroying the environment. And it's quite expensive to mine them. So the Chinese seem to have cracked the capacity to mine this stuff in a very efficient way. And of course, that helps with the price of the product as well.
So then they decide, Apple, that they're going to manufacture a substantial proportion of their iPhones in India. Now, how did the Indians get even to that capability, I wonder?
Well, there's one prediction about they may move it to India, which seems unlikely given the scale of it in China. But the Indian country can make these as well. 15% of iPhones are made in India now. So could you ramp that up is the question. The Indian government are mad keen on this, by the way.
Yeah.
They're offering Apple all kinds of incentives
to
relocate.
But Apple are quite clever in having some capacity in India in case, you know, the balloon goes up with China, they still have a place to manufacture.
Exactly. And what I read yesterday was they're planning on scaling up the Indian operation. Now, you see, Trump might apply tariffs to China that wouldn't be applied to India. So that might be a reason why Apple would move there. The second place, that is Brazil. So Brazil are making iPhones. Now, it's about 1% of the total at the moment are being done in Brazil. But you can see again, make them in Brazil, just as in China. Now, of course, the trouble is the price would go up again. And remember, Pat, that clip you played, the price will triple if they're made in America, simply because of the cost of making it will go up. They're saying an average iPhone will cost nearly $4,000 per iPhone if it's made in America. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's less than $1,000 at the moment.
Less than $1,000, yeah. That's a threefold increase in price. Now, Apple wouldn't want that, would they? Because they'd be terrified they'd lose their market share. And remember, there's more than Apple. There's other smartphones out there in competition.
But anyway. In other words, the bottom line here is that at the moment and for the foreseeable future, they cannot make iPhones in America.
Exactly. Yes, in spite of what Trump wants, it's almost impossible to shift the iPhone manufacturing to America. The complexity of it. The other thing, Pat, that strikes me is they wouldn't train. It's a very trained workforce in China.
Yeah.
It's a very high-tech thing to make, remember. So they've trained all the people in this very high-tech industry. The American education system, as we heard, is in trouble, and they wouldn't have the staff to work in these places, it looks like, as well.
So, yeah, because those people who are jobless at the moment, as I say, from the Rust Belt and other poor areas of the United States, by and large, do not have the educational background to be even trained.
That's right, yeah. And as I'm saying, this isn't like making biscuits in a factory, remember. These are extremely elaborate devices. You need very high tech to make them, a special sterile atmosphere and all kinds of things. To recreate that in America seems very unlikely. So Trump is probably, he's not going to get very far with this.
Yeah, and meantime, all foreign students applying for Harvard will not get in.
It's getting worse. Every day I'm getting contacts from American scientists, by the way. And the big thing is, will they come to Europe? Remember this reverse brain? Mm. That's happening. There are many American scientists are planning now to leave the US.
Well, there's some academics in Ireland who wrote a letter saying, don't come here.
That was a bit of a disappointment, but that was the PhD students. Now, they had a slight point in that we should be paying our PhD students more, you know. But still, that was a bit much to say that, I think. The Irish government could respond to this, of course, and make it very attractive for PhD students to come to Ireland. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, but meantime, Harvard, at least for maybe a short time, we don't know how long before the courts intervene and say, all of this is wrong and vindictive and retribution rather than sensible policy.
I think the hope is it's going to go away. He's got a 4-year term, right? As time goes on, he may start forgetting about these things and Harvard might clog it up in the courts anyway, you know. But the main thing it's causing is uncertainty. And if you're a scientist and you're stuck in that environment, you might think, I got to get out of here. And that'll be the damage that'll be done to America.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that in a generation, maybe sooner than that, instead of Chinese students queuing up to go to American universities, you might have American students queuing up to go to Chinese universities.
You may well, it could invert entirely, couldn't it? Yeah. You never know. And the Chinese are well aware of that, by the way. They're investing massively in their education system and their universities. Incredibly, no? So that may be they'll take over from America in more ways than one.
And when we think back to our own success, It was absolutely down to education.
It was, absolutely. Education. The education, key thing, education. Exactly, yeah.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, thank you very much for joining us. We'll have news next.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.